What's up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Align Money Show coming your way featuring Mr. Rickson D'Souza. He is a life insurance specialist to high net worth individuals. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into the reality that each of us can do hard things, even though we don't realize it. We talked about the importance of taking control back when we lose it, which all of us will do from time to time. We talked about the importance of getting outside of your comfort zone. We addressed the challenges that second generations of people coming from wealth have and all the noise that comes along with money. We talked about the difference between an inheritance and legacy and all the finer points surrounding that. And then, of course, we close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Rickson, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
All right, George. At one point, I weighed 140 kilos. That would be about 309 pounds. I've run a 256 kilometer ultra marathon across the Sahara Desert in Morocco twice. And I once turned down a six-figure job from a global bank to become a monk for a year.
Oh, these are great. These are great. At one point, and I appreciate the conversion because my brain is not capable of making such a conversion. So I was just going to have to guess. Right. And some ultra races across the desert, two of them, and you turn down a six-figure job to become a monk for a year. Wow. All right. Well, I think that if you were somebody who used to be pretty heavy and you got super committed, and now as I see you, you look like a very spry, healthy man, that it's very within the realm of possibilities that you would have run those races. So I'm going to guess that you were never a monk.
Oh, look at that. I mean, I have the hair for it.
Oh, sure. I totally believe it, but I had to guess one of them.
Yeah, you got that right. You got that right.
All right. So you were never you were never going to be a monk.
I was never going to be a monk. I don't think, I think that ship has sailed a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. So 300 pounds.
That's
right.
Tell
me a little bit about that.
So that's 309 pounds. I was 33 years old. I got into the life insurance and the financial services business at 21. It was a commission-driven job. Well, I tell myself that that's the reason why it happened, but I really didn't focus on my health. I didn't focus on, it was eat any kind of food at any point in time, no focus on health and fitness. And at 33, I was the father of a nine-month-old daughter, and a life insurance company charged me 100% more than the average 33-year-old. Of course, because of the obesity and everything else. Yeah.
And so that was the point where you said something's got to change?
Well, you know, when your nine-month-old is learning to walk and she can outrun you while you're still trying to tie your shoelaces, yeah, I think that is as good as any a moment to begin that change.
How long did it take you to lose the weight?
You know, people say I cheated on this. I used a surgery called a bariatric sleeve surgery back in 2012. And I got into health and fitness only January 2013. So it took me less than 4 months to drop the weight, but it's taken me a lifetime to get fit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of people are saying you cheated? Who, you know, my goodness, that's not very charitable.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, everyone's got an opinion, and everyone's entitled to it. For me, I think that my dad passed away at the age of 59, and I was 33 when I, noticed or really was open to looking at the real picture, which is obese Rickson in the mirror. And honestly, man, I have no regrets about it. It just made me take control of things. It was a catalyst for me. The surgery was a big catalyst for me. And from there, I just knew that I wanted to be active. I wanted to move around. I wanted to be around for my kids. You know, my dad didn't get to see my children. I want to be there to see my grandkids, you know, so that's it. Yeah.
It makes sense to me. Well, credit you for recognizing that, doing what it took to make it happen, and now continuing to pursue a healthy lifestyle and running great distances across the desert.
That was a moment of clarity for me. I needed that more to regain some power from two failed businesses. And running was something that I hated doing. But throwing myself into that level of discomfort, especially through an ultra marathon across the desert, it just puts things in perspective. There was a book I read called Do Hard Things. And, something about it just made a couple of switches in my head. And I realized, you know what? I got to do this. And through it all, I left so much of baggage behind. And the Rixon that you see today is the result of all of those things. And I'm so happy I am here today.
Amen. Left a lot of baggage behind, both literally and figuratively.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
Absolutely.
I think that that's awesome. So, congratulations on that. And we can do hard things. Sometimes people forget that.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I've had some interesting experiences through that as well. I remember when COVID came along, I'm somebody that likes to be in control of things. And when that control was taken away from me through the lockdown and everything else, I realized that I'd signed up for an Ironman, my first ever Ironman race. And the race got canceled, obviously, because of lockdowns. But I continued to do that Ironman distance race. It was a solo thing across the desert again. We did this in Dubai. I swam in the ocean. I rode my bike in the desert and I ran that race. But for me, that was taking control back from a situation which threatened to completely disrupt me and my working model. And I find that putting myself in those situations constantly, putting myself outside my comfort zone constantly, makes it easier to deal with these curveballs that get thrown your way. I think I'm just a lot calmer when something like that happens because, I mean, the way I look at it is, hey, I throw myself into situations all the time anyways. This is okay.
Yeah, you can handle it.
I'd like to think that.
All right. Well, what is top of mind for you right now?
Well, for me, I only take on a handful of clients every year. As a life insurance advisor, as a financial consultant, I take on just a handful of clients on every year, between four and six new clients a year. So the question I constantly ask is, where can I create the most meaningful change? And what I found that real impact isn't just about growing wealth. It's about helping people gain clarity, take control, and use their money to build a life and a legacy that they actually want. Because, without that clarity, I've noticed with these big boys, even a lot of money can feel just like noise. So my head's in impact right now.
I think, isn't it? People might think when you look at a successful person, isn't it obvious what matters? Isn't it obvious what's most important? But it's not.
I think it differs around the generations, right? If you're the creator of the wealth, you might still have your head about this stuff. But if you're the person that inherited that wealth, but not really the legacy and the thought process and the values behind it, then there's definitely a lot of noise around that. It's more difficult to stay grounded as a second generation business owner, entrepreneur, high net worth individual, whatever you want to call them. When you didn't spend your life creating that wealth, and when that wealth only means material stuff to you, So yeah, I think it could. You think it's obvious, but I mean, yeah, I don't see it.
Talk about noise around it. That's what's what are some examples of that?
Well, the most common thing to see is, he who made it and he or she who spent it. He or she who made it and he or she who spent it. And when I look at the value creation around that or the loss of those values around that, I remember I was asked once by somebody, what's the difference between an inheritance and a legacy? And I think an inheritance is when you pass on that material wealth to the next generation, but legacy is when you arm them with the values and the thought processes and the belief system to actually manage it, right? So one of my clients put it really well years ago. When he was handing down wealth to his children, he said very simply, you can spend the rental income from the property, but you can never sell the property because you just are you're almost just taking care of, you're just a caretaker of the property. It has to be passed on from generation to generation. You can only spend the rent. You can never spend the principal. And I think that's an interesting one. Clarity, I think, could mean so many different things for different people. And some of the most successful legacies I've seen passed on is when the family is committed to the same value systems or can follow that line as close to the creator as possible. It's a difficult one, and it comes down to that noise, right?
I think that when people look at everybody's dealing with their own difficulties, it's difficult to grow up in poverty, but it's also really difficult to be the child of a billionaire because how do I step out of this shadow? How do I make my own way? Is that even possible? And even if I did, people would probably think that it's because my mom or my dad was really successful.
Absolutely, man. It's that shadow, right? And I've seen again some fantastic legacies created by individuals who, by creators, by the first generation in the wealth who basically left the door open and took a step back and allowed the next generation to come in and run it. But most of the business families I work with, it's almost like the patriarch is right in that seat till the very last day, which means in most cases, you've got a 50, possibly 55-year-old waiting to take ownership and reins of a business. And if you think about any of their peer circle around them, who may be executives, who may be first-generation business owners, they're already in control of their lives. But this billionaire's heir, this billionaire's son, is still waiting for control to be given. It could be very emasculating. For a human being, for a person, and sometimes not the best things come out of it. And that's why I think about it when I think about that impact and intentional and being and taking on those kind of clients. For me, it's very critical. It's important for me to be able to surround myself by first generation entrepreneurs or guide the first generation entrepreneurs to have that legacy passed on in the right manner, right? And impact as well for me has also to do with people from my industry. And I know your background and your history, George, but I've been in the life insurance and the financial services business since 1999. And I think the financial services industry globally are my people, right? And I know that I struggled through a bankruptcy, two failed businesses, a hostile takeover, and a series of other issues. To get me to who I am today. And when I think about it today, I feel like impact for me is not just with my clients and their businesses and their generation, but impact for me today is a lot about showing financial advisors and life insurance consultants how to take control of their own income, of their own growth, of their own exponential growth.
Isn't that the truth? It's certainly needed. I've known a lot of advisors, life insurance professionals who appear to be wildly successful on the outside and are probably making plenty of money, but inside it is a different story.
I'm gonna say no judgment over here, and I'll tell you why, because till 37, I was that guy. Till 37, I had over $2 million in debt from bad business decisions, which I tried to quickly fix by borrowing money from a loan shark, paying 30% per annum as an interest.
Oh my
So
goodness.
yeah, the person you're talking about is me. And when I think about that is, I feel like I needed to get to that bottom of the curve to understand things and then to eventually take control of my life again and say, you know what? I got myself into this mess. It's complete ownership. I did it to myself. Forget about the failed businesses. Forget about the hostile takeover. This was me. And now let's fix the situation. Right?
So much better to be able to learn from somebody else instead of having to go through it firsthand. So I appreciate your desire and your work to help people avoid that pain.
Yeah. I will say this though. I don't know if I can help them avoid the pain. I think I can put my ideas out there. I think it's a rite of passage. We have to make our own mistakes. But I think context over there is knowing somebody else has made a bigger mistake than you and has been able to get themselves out of that always helps. When I was at the bottom of that pit, the stories of underdogs always were the ones that I listened to as an audiobook. You know, th things that encouraged and inspired me were stories of grit and determination. And it didn't stop me from making those mistakes, but it definitely helped me get out of my problems.
I love a good underdog story too, Rickson. So I appreciate that very much. Understanding, we talked about values, and sometimes does it just require intention to say, I want this to be different? I want my kids to understand and have a framework for thinking about this. I want somebody who's going through hard times, when they do get to the point where it's ready to make a change, here are some best practices. Here are some ways to be thinking about this. Here are ways to actually move forward to the life that you truly do want.
I think intention is definitely a very important piece. I think clarity is equally important, being clear about what it is that you want to go after. But I think action then is the final piece to it, right? Because we can go out there with all, you know, we see this all the time. There are coaches selling the perfect way to get a six-pack or an eight-pack abs and stuff like that. And it's all out there. All the information is there. The intention is there. And then you see that one soda, and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna have that today. So, intention, I feel, is important. Clarity and your vision is critical, and the ability to act is equally important. I can't remember the author, but I think it may have been Mel Robbins that did her, not the book Let Them, but there was a book she wrote about. There's a book where she spoke about 3, 2, 1, go, and it was all about acting, right? And if you could just set that. You just get up and act, and maybe the steps to follow will just fall into place. But without action, any amount of intention, is useless.
Yeah, she talked about that activation energy. When you feel the urge, you better take advantage of it in those 3 seconds. Otherwise, you're going to get back in bed. You're going to hit snooze.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
And to begin. And the 256, the race across the desert that started with the first step.
That's right. That's right. That was a wild ride that began with me talking to a friend who just completed the race and told me that it was out of this world and I couldn't understand it. I was in the middle of an Olympic weightlifting session and I was curious about what intrigued me most about it was the outdoors, the elements, because I like a nice outdoor story. I like the adventure part of it. I like the elements. But when I Googled the race, what came up first was Marathon des Sables, the world's toughest foot race. I mean, when you have an epic beginning like that, it's difficult to not say hell yes to that. And honestly, that was 2017 that I started training for that. I did the race in 2018 and then again in 2019. And honestly, it was one of the most life-changing moments of my life. It was unbelievable.
Going back to the reality that we can do hard things, but if we have not proven to ourselves because we haven't started yet, then we don't realize it. It's potential energy, and what's required to turn potential into actual energy is action. We have to take that action and do things.
That's absolutely right, man. I think action is the final piece of it, I'd say. Life on your own terms. Life on your own terms. My posts about running when I first started out always had a hashtag, I hate running. That didn't last for more than, I'd say, a month or so until someone pointed it out and said, if you keep saying that, it's never going to change. You know, and it flipped instantly. Intention, clarity, action. I like ownership. I love ownership because then there's literally no one to blame for anything that goes wrong, and really no one to give credit for everything that goes right except yourself. And I love that. It just puts you in the absolute place of control.
The good and the bad, on all of
Absolutely. Absolutely. The bad more than the good.
it.
Because you
Yeah.
can change it then.
That's right. Once you realize
Yep.
this is my
Yep.
fault, you can also move forward to something better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
Rickson, you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us, sir?
If I could leave your listeners with one thing, it's take control. Now, some context for you. I wrote a book for financial advisors called Take Control. But whether you're an advisor or building your own financial life, I think exponential growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from getting clear on what actually matters and focusing just there. Because once you take control of all your decisions, as we just spoke about, and your direction, everything, and I mean everything, starts to compound. I think this was my realization over the last 15 years of my life. And it's been wildly, it's been a journey, I'll say that. Yeah.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Take control. Get clear on what matters. Take action. I love it. Well, Rickson, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they get their copy of Take Control?
They can engage with me. I'm very active on LinkedIn as Rickson D'Souza, but Take Control is available through most of the platforms, Barnes and Nobles, Audible as an audiobook, Spotify, and even Amazon.com. George, I did have a question for you, if that's all right.
Please.
So I've listened to a lot of the episodes that you've done with people, and I wanted to know, after everything you've seen and experienced with the guests on the show, has your definition of success changed over time?
I think that it certainly has. Yes.
What is the before George, or what is the current George's definition of success?
Well, when I was in my 20s, the things that I was motivated by and how I equated success were more material and more childish. Today, I consider myself to be successful because I get to do things on my terms. I get to spend my time doing what I want and, more importantly, doing the work that I think matters. And so that's what I consider to be success.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. You are welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Rickson your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Take Control. You can pick it up most major booksellers like Amazon and Barnes and Noble. Get the audiobook on Audible and follow Rickson on LinkedIn. And you can find out all the other ways to connect with him there as well. Thanks again, Rickson.
Take care, Judge.
Until next time, remember, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.